If you're an avid listener of Laying the Points with Farley Betts, I know what you're thinking. As much as I love and adore and admire two-time Circa winner Farley Betts, this podcast of his hasn't had a rhyme or a reason or a rhythm in a long time. That's correct, it hasn't, nor have my betting results. It's been a wild year since I last won Circa 10 months ago. But it's time to turn the page. What do I mean by that? I mean, let's make betting fun again. Every Wednesday night, I'll be joined by random guests. And when I mean random, I mean random. To talk about the full NFL slate. And I will pick every game against the spread. I will also very likely be high as fuck. With that, let's move forward to the new era of Laying the Points with me, Farley Betts. Swanton. No one says it like good old JR. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This is the Week 10 show. We're going to go over every single game in the NFL slate. And unlike previous shows, I'm going to give out my side on every single NFL game this weekend. It's not always something I do. I usually have my lean, but we're going to make it official. I'm going to pick every side. We'll stick to it on every show. We'll see how we do picking every single game, because why not? And we'll move forward. Jake Circus is going to be joining us today to talk about the Week 10 slate. And I like this new time. You know, it's not even 10 p.m. here yet on the East Coast, but it's perfect, man. I come alive at night. And I don't know who wants to do it during the day. You know, like shit is—it's too ordinary. It's too work-like. You know, you're what? It's a part of my 9 to 5 that I'm going to get on a podcast and talk about football as if that's not fucking fun. It's fun. It's too fun to talk about 9 to 5. Now, if you do talk about a 9 to 5, that's actually pretty fucking awesome if you get paid for that. But I don't. You know, so why would I, from 9 to 5, talk about football? Let's make it 10 o'clock, eh? 10 o'clock at night, which is, I know, to you kids, that's not too late. As we wait on Jake Circus, because, you know, the kid loves to talk ball. He's pretty damn sharp. Writer at Bleacher Report, by the way. As I wait for him, I just want to say one thing about red wine. So I got into red wine a few years ago, and I opened the bottle 4 days ago. This thing's skunked. Thing is skunked already. Like, that's the thing about red wine. We got to keep this stuff like in, you know, 64 degrees, just perfect environment, or it goes to shit in like 1 second. I guess that's the case with every liquid, but fucking love wine, even if it's a little skunked. All right, we're going to get started with the Week 10 slate here. I told Jake that I might go through a few of these games without him. And there's a lot to talk about on this first one. Thursday Night Football, the Las Vegas Raiders are 9-point favorites. Yeah, right. They're 9-point underdogs. I'm going to accentuate the jersey on the show from now on, okay? The underdogs on the road at Denver, total is 43 in this game. The first thing that comes to mind is that the Broncos, obviously, the, you know, very good defense all around, but they're so good against the run, and the Raiders' rushing attack is so shitty. All right, Ashton Jeanty, he's running for like 55 yards per game, something like that. It's not good. I guess that's right around where his prop is for the week. But the Raiders don't have a run game, and they don't have an offensive line that consistently moves any defensive line in the NFL, let alone a defensive line like the Denver Broncos, which they lead the league in sack rate. It's like 11.81%. That's just from some of the writing I did earlier. That's right. Just stored it right up in there. But obviously this is a good defense. And as Jake Cirkus is about to join us here, I mean, dude, how the hell are the Raiders going to do anything on the ground? So they're going to have to be forced to do things through the air, Jake Cirkus. And it's going to be on Geno Smith. What's up, my man? I like the backwards hat.
Thank you.
It's going to be all on Geno on Thursday night. And, forgive me if I don't trust that's going to go well for the Raiders. What say you, Jake? Because it's hard for me to see a scenario. Is it just because of Brock Bowers? Brock Bowers is back, Jake. So now the Raiders are going to move the ball against the Broncos. What say you Thursday night?
No, I don't think they will. I mean, that's not the exciting part if you want to take the Raiders here. I mean, if you do, you should wait for the 10. I don't know if that's coming, though, but it might. Yeah, right. It's not going to go down, because if it goes to 8.5, that brings Broncos teasers into play. I think 9 is probably where it'll stay. But Bo Nix, man, 9 points in a short week. What do you
know? That's true on both sides.
Do you like laying it here?
I think. Well, so I said to the viewers before the show, the listeners, something I'm going to change about this show, Jake, is I'm going to pick a side of every game. Now, I'm not saying that's what I'm going to, you know, bet, but I'm going to pick a side in every game. So I have to pick a side here. And it's probably not something I would bet. I guess maybe I shouldn't say that. It doesn't make it fun. That's for sure. But if I had to pick a side, I have to go with the Broncos, because it's hard for me to see a sudden game narrative with things flip. And like, what are we going to get at? Like, you know, like an Ashton Jeanty game. They just gave up Jacoby Myers, right? So now it's like on Brock Bowers even more. Don't trust it. So I just think mistakes, turnovers, that's a coming for the Raiders on a short week on the road. But I want to believe, Jake, like as a fan, I want to believe that this is going to be like some semblance of an AFC West fucking barn fight. I just, where is that going to happen? The Raiders defense, I guess, would have to really step up. So that I guess that's a possibility against Bo Nix, who's a very average quarterback.
So Nix has been terrible in every game this year except the games against the Bengals and the Cowboys. So
and
like
the Eagles in the fourth quarter. And the Eagles in the fourth quarter is pretty good.
Right. So like this, I mean, this, I think it's this whole fourth quarter Broncos thing. I hate it so much. It pisses me off.
Yeah, it's
like
the Giants. So
it's like, yes, like the Texans and Davis Mills gave them 9 chances to go down the field and get 3 points to end the game. And yeah, the last one, he breaks off a 25-yard run after a good kick return and gets himself into field goal range to end it and ruin my 5-0 circle week like an asshole. But the spot for the Raiders. Dude, sucks.
You've got a little short term anger right now going on.
Well, I mean, I've been fading the Broncos all year. I faded them in London. Look, but this role that they're in. So Nick's straight up since he took over 13-1 straight up as a touchdown and more favorite. But this year against the spread, they laid 9 week 1 against Tennessee, almost lost that game outright. They laid 7 against the Jets, almost lost that game outright. They laid 7 against the Giants. They should have lost that game outright. And now we're at almost 10. But like the spot for the Raiders sucks, because
they
played full overtime last week, short week on the road, altitude. Like spot is terrible.
For the Jets, I will blame that on the trip. Something weird in the event, you know, overseas, it's a weird game. The other two are inexcusable. Although, you know, Giants are like, they're kind of feisty now. You know, they can't stop anyone.
They should have won the game.
They should have won.
It was like the worst game the Broncos defense played all year.
Right, but it's not like the worst game for the Broncos to blow. But the market was just still off, right? And I don't think the market was off on the Jets and Broncos. That was just a weird spot overseas. But
right.
Listen, this is a hard pick either way. But I think the short example is, if the Broncos were 7-point favorites, I think you seriously think about this. And obviously, yeah, you know, eight is more of a key number. now and shit. If it gets up to 10, to your point, now maybe you start thinking about the other side.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. 10, I hope it doesn't get to 10, because then I might have to play it, because that's like two. We're getting to two points of value for, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
I had this at 8, so like
okay,
maybe I'm a little lower on the spot. You could argue with me that the spot should boost the lineup a little bit more, just because like the overtime and altitude and that stuff. So yep. Yeah, I don't want to bet this game. I'm gonna be gone tomorrow. It's the only primetime game I won't watch all year. So thank God it's this game. And
I gotta say, Jake, I'm a little distracted. Is that a three hole punch picture behind you on your wall? What is that?
Which one?
Oh, is it a flag?
Yeah, it's a big golf guy here. So we got a Ryder Cup flag back there. Losing team, you know, America. Boy,
I try to throw you shade. I'm ousting myself here. As a non-golf guy, I wouldn't know what the fuck that is.
Sure, there's some golf fans watching that could appreciate, you know, repping the losing team in the Ryder Cup. And then I got a bunch of lifelong losers up there. And then,
yeah. No more cigars being smoked lately there, Joe, but hopefully soon. I know your team, Jake? Who's your team?
I'm a recovering Bengals fan.
Okay. Yeah.
For some reason,
I was thinking Panthers, like you, but that was just because you bet on them so often last season.
Yeah, I was a Panthers fan the last 2 years. I've been drifting more so away from the Bengals fandom and more so focusing on like all 32 teams and just betting the league instead of putting time and money and effort into one team that never wins and always hurts me. So. Look, I mean, we're since I did that, we're off to a nice run these last few weeks in betting. So we got to keep that going.
Jake, before we get on to the next game, so officially, I would take the Broncos. You would take who? I'm going by Bet Online here, so I have them at -9.
Yeah, 9. I would take the Raiders and just not feel good at all about it. It's just a point of value. I mean, yeah. It's like, yeah, I can't lay 9 next.
So before we continue, you know, Jake and I have a little age disparity going on here, but you wouldn't know it talking to Jake about football, especially. So let me just ask you this, Jake, as a seasoned pro, if you're someone like me, and you have lost, Jake, there's been 9 weeks of the NFL season. I have 2 winning weeks so far. Okay, this is by far my worst NFL season. As the rage builds, even thinking about it. No, but really, Jake, if you're someone in my position, what do you tell them? At this point in the year, are you changing your process at all? Are you, you know, like how would Jake Circus handle that? If you've ever handled that, Jake, how would you?
It depends what your process is. Like if you can go to bed at night feeling good about your process,
there you go.
Then the pendulum's going to swing both ways. I mean, we're only 9 weeks into this thing. I mean, there's a lot of ball left to be played, and there will always be more ball to play. And look, I mean, this is why there's so much stuff out there that's just people judge by whether they're paying for picks or paying for whatever and judging handicappers based on their record. And it's like short-term variance is a disease, man. I mean, you can 5-6 weeks of this. That is very short-term. Doesn't matter how many picks are given out. Like, short-term variance is real, and you got to be careful with it. And you never get too down on yourself, and certainly never get too high on yourself. Because, you know, if you have a good weekend, you're like, I'm the greatest thing in the world. Like, I can get away with anything. No, it's all a process, and it's why I think if you're out there looking for someone to pay for picks or whatever, you should be paying for information, paying for a process. And
that's right.
You know, I know your process is good.
Like,
I've seen you do it before, and you know, I like to think that I have a pretty good process. So weeks where I don't do well, it's about the process. And if you can go to bed knowing that you have a good process, and you know, if there's a 3-week stretch where you're betting and you're losing line value every week and you're not beating lines, then you can reevaluate some stuff.
Yeah, maybe just back off a little tad.
You know? Yeah. But if you're beating lines and you're just losing, that's a pretty good indicator of some short-term variance there.
You know, yeah, I often, not to you know, prolong our philosophical discussion here too long as we have these games to get to, but you know, I tell Jake Cirkus that he has a three-hole punch piece of paper behind him. 1 second, the next second, he's giving me like Greek philosophy on betting, which I love. That's what I love. But just to kind of go with you here, you know, if you pull back a little bit, that's one thing, but you should at least evaluate every pick that you would make that week. So you have some sort of analysis for what you're doing, right? Like what your mindset is. And believe it or not, Jake, that's only something I adopted like for 2 years now. I was doing that at first kind of flying blind and believing in that I don't have to track myself. But dude, tracking yourself and your own fucking tendencies, I find, is hugely important. And if things are going well, you just kind of leave it alone, you know. But anyway, I agree with what you said. That was good. See, we're trying to make betting fun again, and we're making betting therapeutic again. This is fantastic. Wow. All right, let's move on. Falcons and Colts, which is for some reason on every sports book I've looked at, this is the first game listed. You know how they, I guess they all have numbers, whatever. Falcons and Colts, 48.5 or 48 is the total I bet online. The Falcons are now 6.5 and getting juiced at sharper books at that -6.5. Fluctuated a little bit at first. I don't think we've seen it. Did we see a 7 in this game? I don't remember seeing that. So it's been 6.5 to 6. Yeah. This is in Berlin. So the Colts, despite being the home team, are not the juggernaut at home here. They're going to be in Berlin with the Falcons. I still trust the Colts to travel better than the Falcons. But, you know, yeah, when evaluating this game, Jake, I don't see how the Falcons defense, which has regressed as the season has went on, you know, some of that is opponent spots, whatever, but they just haven't been as good. Excuse me. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to get his in this game. And I think as long as the Colts can do that after a 6-turnover game last week, they're not going to do that again. I think they can control this game. And the Colts defense has been mostly very good against runners. Bijan is a different animal. They're going to have to be creative with him here. And I think maybe look at his receptions in this game or just different ways to get him involved other than your straight up rushing props, because the Colts have been pretty good. So if the Colts can run and the Falcons can't, which is sort of the narrative that I'm seeing someone like Shane Steichen would try to rely on in a smart way, executing, trust him more than Raheem Morris every day of the week, then you know, I like the Colts -6.5 here. I think this is you know, if you saw this line heading into the season, you wouldn't believe it, but now it makes a lot of sense, and we know the way the Falcons travel, which is not very good.
First of all, I mean, you're completely right about the travel. I mean, that's one of the biggest keys here. It's like everyone says coaching travels to London or Ireland or Berlin or wherever the fuck they're playing these international games. It's like the one Germany game, and then London gets like 9 games and Germany gets one, gets one, and Ireland gets one. I don't know. I just like to bet on the games, and I don't care where they're being played. The graph of the Falcons being judged by the public, or just national perception of them, has been very interesting throughout the year, because preseason, I think a lot of people were trying to talk themselves into like the defense being improved and panics, and the small sample last year and against the bad competition, he was really good. And like they tried to hype themselves up in Atlanta, started a bit slow. And then they beat the Bills, and everyone's like, oh, this defense, like they're so good. And then they lose to Miami, and it's like, oh, Raheem Morris sucks. Like, why did Kirk Cousins, whatever? And then last week was pretty good. I mean, there was a pretty good showing. Yeah. They sacked Drake May a bunch of times. Forced him into a few turnovers.
And they fell asleep for most of that game in the beginning offensively.
He did. And Drake London kind of just got me my cover. That's all what a legend. I mean, he single-handedly got me that cover. One that I probably didn't deserve, but I was heavy on Atlanta last week. They were, the defense was super banged up against Miami. I mean, they missed Jesse Bates, Billy Bowman, a bunch of those defensive backs. Zach Harrison didn't play. Trayvon Walker didn't play. Not Trayvon Walker. Jalen Walker didn't play. So the Miami game, I'm throwing out. It's like the Falcons as a favorite. I don't like to bet on them in that spot. Complete fade, just because of like the Raheem Morris part of it. But this team has a dog. Like they profile really well as a dog. because they can run the ball. They play good defense. Like, this defense is going to get healthier. They're going to get Bowman back this week. Harrison's going to travel and I think try to play. So they're going to be at full strength. They haven't been at full strength in a few weeks. So I bet this at 6.5 on Sunday. I figured it would go down and it did. And then the Colts fucking trade for Sauce Gardner and the line goes back up a point. I don't get that. A one line bump or 1 point bump for a corner who didn't even play a week, who was in concussion protocol. And like, is that really worth a line move over a key number in a brutal travel spot? I don't know. So yeah, that pissed me off a little bit. So I'm not going to get any closing value here, but some injuries to the Falcons offensive line. Like one of their guards, Bergeron, might not play. I think Lindstrom's going to play though, but I don't know. I normally like the Falcons as a dog. Like, I bet it on Sunday. Do I feel as good about it now as I did then? Probably not. But I think if those guards play, I think the run game will be okay here. And yeah, like you said, like they have to neutralize Taylor, and Colts certainly aren't going to turn it over a million times again. That was pretty shocking, but you know, it's a big number in a neutral site, tough travel. So I took it on Sunday. It's not my favorite play of the week, but
yeah,
I did take it.
I thought the Falcons, the comeback was a little fluky last week. Now maybe I need to rewatch that game. But
yeah, they didn't really deserve to cover. London,
yeah,
kind of nuts. But like the defense is like the defense. I think is like when healthy, like they are actually good. They're ninth in DVOA. That's even with like Tua throwing for 300 billion yards against them 2 weeks ago.
I think they're good. Like the Vikings defense is good, right? Like we saw, and we'll get to the Vikings, but the Vikings are next on my list. But you know, we saw the good version of Brian Flores last week. Like that was amazing. And I've, you know, obviously they're getting healthier too, but like great blitzing and everything. Like the Falcons can do that, but it's not consistent, you know, and it's hard to predict when. I guess it's somewhat matchup dependent, but Colts are usually a matchup nightmare for almost everybody. Like they'll find a way to beat you, right? And the road spot doesn't help. I don't know if it's any harder for Atlanta than it is the Colts, this road spot, right? Atlanta was in New England last week. The Colts are in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is a double road game for both of these teams. So, you know, I don't know much about the spot, but man, this did open at 7. At least from what I'm seeing now, the action quickly makes sense. But give me the Colts. Sounds like you're the Falcons, Jake. Let's keep a record on this shit, because
I'm down.
Which okay, I'll do the record keeping, I guess. But I guarantee you, there's going to be mistakes. Okay, the Ravens at the Vikings. Vikings are 4-point dogs at home, and I lost one of my screens. So let me see. I think it's like 45, something like that. Let's see. No, it's obviously bigger than that. 49 is the total at Bet Online. So, Jake, this is another one. I sound very chalky to start the show, but I do think this is the definition of like a week-to-week league sort of thing going on. We saw the best of the Vikings last week. We saw the best of the Vikings offense against a decimated Lions secondary. You know, Lions secondary just going through it once again. I was impressed by the Minnesota offensive line, but they had a good plan. Defensively, I mentioned it already. Great. Like, you know, that version of the Vikings, you're like, oh, even in a crowded NFC North, I could see them in the playoffs, probably lose the first round, but they're feisty. But, you know, you going up against a running quarterback like Lamar, I have it somewhere here, but running quarterbacks have kind of killed it this year. Jake Zirkus against Minnesota, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, there's been a few of them. Don't like that for the Vikings and what I've seen in previous outings from a running perspective, like a dual threat quarterback. And the Ravens have 10 days to prep for this. I don't believe in their defense yet, but I do think this is a better matchup against a rookie quarterback where maybe they can flex and confuse him a little bit. Unfamiliar for both opponents, which I think favors the Ravens, because the Vikings are led by a rookie. So, man, the myth of Kevin O'Connell carries this team in the market most weeks, you know? Like last week, I was like, why isn't this a bigger line on the Lions at home off a bye? I was on the Lions. It's, you know, one of my shittier plays of the week. But, you know, but you still kind of sense the love of Kevin O'Connell in that market because it won't go too high on this team, right? Now this week, now their dog's at home after a good performance. I just expect it to go up and down a lot for these Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, there's a lot of variance with McCarthy. I mean, it's no matter if you like him or you hate him, polarizing prospect out of Michigan, there's going to be some variance here. That's the only reason I would hesitate to lay points here on the road with this Baltimore team, but like everything else points to a pretty easy Ravens spot here. Harbaugh and Lamar have been so lethal with extra prep. They've been so good against NFC teams. They get, you know, to face a team off of a big upset divisional win. You mentioned the blitzing and the Flores stuff. Flores is going to blitz the hell out of Lamar, and that's not a good idea. Lamar historically has killed the blitz. Exactly. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in like league history against the blitz. Like, he can hit deep shots, he can scramble. The numbers against the blitz are ridiculous. This Vikings like defense can't really get pressure without blitzing. So like, I don't really know what they're going to do if they give Lamar a clean pocket and don't blitz. That's pretty foreign for Flores. I will also say, like, about the Vikings, they were very fortunate last week to put up as many points as they did. Like, they deserve to win because they just shut down the Lions completely. But like, if you had the under in that game, that was a horrible beat. Like, both teams just traded off dumb special teams, giving each other short fields. Like, there was, I think, 3 or 4 touchdown drives in that game that were less than 40 total yards, just based on short fields and just like special teams garbage like that. So, I did not go away from that game having a takeaway of like the Vikings offense is fixed with JJ McCarthy. Still some stuff they got to deal with, and they can't run the ball, which is a big deal against this Ravens front. That's their weakness, because they can't get pressure and they're really like not good against the run without Matabuke. But their defensive backs are back. Hamilton's back to play in the slot, and like, just they got a defensive back from the Chargers who's now had a few weeks to really get himself into Zach Orr's defense. Ravens offense has never been healthier this year. This is a pretty easy Ravens spot. I might lay it here. I missed the 3.5 and I'm stubborn. Like, I ended up just putting their money line in a parlay with Texas Tech, I think, who's a big college favorite. I think they're going to roll BYU. Like, that's what I did. I'm not like recommending anyone really do that, but I think the Ravens win here.
So you would take the Ravens?
Yes. Yeah. Ravens are my pick.
I like a Jake Circus. All right, let's move on to the next game. Yeah, I don't 25-4 against the NFC, by the way. I think that's the current record for Lamar. I mean, I don't see of course I didn't see it last week either with the Lions. Those Vikings are weird. Okay, Patriots at the Bucks. The Bucks are 2.5-point favorites. I gotta find my other screen. It's a pretty high total, I believe. Jake.
48.5.
Thank you. How do you fade Drake May at this point? It's hard. And Tampa Bay is still going through the injury bug a little bit. Hassan Reddick didn't practice. Bucky Irving didn't practice. Chris Godwin, I'll never count on him being there. And obviously Mike Evans is not going to rejoin the team until later in the year, right? So, Emeka Igbuka is a damn good player, but it's starting to get thin. And I said at the start of the season, this is the roster that can handle Chris Godwin, you know, prolonged injury, right, even if Mike Evans goes down, because they have such depth. I mean, it is incredible and they still get by, but I think it's going to have to start affecting them now a little bit, especially without Bucky Irving. Just not the same team without his like physical downhill running ability. So the Bucks and Baker, I love them. I fucking love them, Jake. At the same time, there's a little, these are crucial injuries, and New England has been relatively unflappable. Now, they didn't look great last week for stretches, I thought, just a little more, you know, humbled. But Drake May's the real deal. We know that at this point. Apparently him and Vrabel get along like peas and carrots. You know, like his young man that he's grooming, you know. So it's a good pairing, Jake. I have to like, I would absolutely look at New England in a teaser here. This makes sense. And, you know, there are some shows that's all they do is teasers, Jake. That's not all I do, but highly recommend the Patriots in a teaser. But I would also just lean to the Patriots, or I would pick the Patriots in this game. I think they could win this straight up. Why would I not believe that after what I've seen consistency pretty much 7 weeks in a row? Are you going to tell me differently, Jake Circus? Are you going to
put
tell
it
me?
On the board, baby? Patriots teaser leg. That's what I have as well. I like really wanted to go into this week betting the Bucks. This is like exactly the number I figured it would be, under three. Yep. But I was very disappointed to see the injury stuff today after the bye. Like, I was expecting Bucky to be back, Godwin as well. I don't think McMillan's too far away, but he's going to need some more time. Same with the right tackle, Luke Gedecky, who I think is like a bigger impact than maybe anyone on the offense. Because like the drop off between him and the right tackle right now is pretty big. He's going to need an extra week as well. He hasn't played like all year. The Bucks offense hasn't been the same in the last few games. They got stomped against the Lions. Baker was horrendous. And then the next week, they were just as bad against the Saints. They were lucky the Saints gave them 16 EPA off turnovers. Pick six, two fumbles, a fumble that was almost a touchdown.
You know who they remind me a little bit of, Jake? You know who they remind me a little bit of? I like Baker far more than Kyler Murray. Last year, the Cardinals a little bit got off to a hot start, fizzled out, went back to a very average team.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the Bucks. But last 2 weeks has not looked good.
So, like, we're getting a team who was pretty efficient on offense, but going into the bye with two terrible performances, do they come out strong? They're going to be one-dimensional here, though, because they're not going to be able to run the ball on the Patriots. Like, the total is pretty high for two teams that can't run the ball, but both these teams generate a bunch of explosives in passing. Like, I think this is going to be back and forth. I feel pretty comfortable with that Patriots teaser leg. The one wrinkle here that would get me off it is Todd Bowles, his exotic blitzes. They normally give young quarterbacks a headache. And Drake May has been open about these sack problems. That's like these looks. Raheem Morris had a few. The Browns had some blitz looks. Most of those was just like Myles Garrett just dominating that game. But Drake May took some pretty bad sacks these last few weeks. Like, Bowles can kind of take over that game. But I feel confident both these quarterbacks can, you know, go off in the fourth quarter, and I trust both them. But I think we're gonna get a close game here. That Pat's teaser leg is calling my name, like Wong that shit up.
Well, and I'm gonna put you down for Patriots on the spread too.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't really don't have a lean at all. The line's totally right. It's where it should be.
It's right.
Yeah. You just don't know you don't know what you're gonna get with this Bucks offense. Like, they might come out strong. But like, their suit still hurt, and what we've seen recently has been a ton of the regression from that Baker. Because Baker was all just like explosive plays and heroics and down to down. Yeah. Like, they were not super. I think they were like 16th in success rate the first 6 weeks, and like fourth in EPA per play. So, ton of explosives. It's just not super sustainable.
Yeah, I forecasted this game early in the season as a potential survivor play on the Bucks. That is obviously not the case now. Yeah. I will not be using the Bucks this week.
Hard to trust them. Are you still in? Are you still in?
I have one entry in. Yep. Still in. I want to ask you about, I know you said you're not a survivor guy, but that's why I want to ask you, because you'll probably have a different methodology than most. So we'll get to that at the end. I want to know where your survivor thoughts are. Jake and I both on the Pats to keep it rolling. I like Baker though. Baker over Kyler Murray all day.
Yeah, I mean,
different stratosphere.
I wanted to bet the Bucks here. I mean, like,
yeah,
I still might, but like that Pats teaser leg, 8.5. I think I don't think the Bucks are in a form to blow anybody out. And like, yeah,
yeah, not the current form. There, no single character in the NFL has gone through more of an arc for me than Baker Mayfield. Couldn't stand him on the Browns. Yeah. I was like, why are you on commercials? This doesn't look good. And, you know, it's a fit, right? For a lot of players, it's just about fit. So it wasn't a good fit for him there either. Fucking love this guy in the Bucks. Love him. Could watch him every week and it'd be the only game. Jaguars at the Texans. Jake and I talked about this earlier in the week. Jake, are you still on the Texans, who are now +1.5 and most books? I'm still seeing some, like, +1 at bookmakers, -103 for some reason. That's interesting. But +1.5 at most books. I personally already teased the Jags up to +7.
Let's put it on the board, baby. Same thing. Let's close that teaser leg off.
So you want to do it on the Houston side now too?
Jags, Pats teaser. What's that?
Do you want to do it on the Houston side now too, though? Because they're plus.
Sorry. I'm on Houston teaser leg. With the
love
plus.
That.
Sorry. I got a little too excited.
No, I got Jags yesterday, is what I'm saying, when they were +1.5. So it's flipped since. So we have both sides here. This is great. So you're in Houston teaser. Gotcha. And you would, so I'm also going to put you down for that. Can you explain, because I think I know you well enough by now to know what your thinking is on this game. I'll just say briefly, the Jaguar, it was an ugly game earlier in the season. I believe a lot of turnovers by Houston, just from remembering that, you know, more mistakes, obviously, if nothing else. The Jaguars are starting to show, at least for me, that this is a little more of a clusterfuck coach in his first year. I think he's sharp. I like Liam Cohen, but there are indications of inconsistency. Certain units are not showing up the same way. How could they not? Why could they not stop? I know Brock Bowers is a good player. Okay. But the Raiders, you have to stop the Raiders in overtime. When you score, if you're a good team in the National Football League, you have to be able to stop the Raiders in overtime after you score a touchdown. If you can't stop Geno Smith throwing to the same fucking guy on every play, you're not a great defense. And I thought the Jaguars had a great defense before, Jake, or it was at least trending in that direction. Not so impressed recently, especially off their bye. So I'm never going to trust Trevor Lawrence. And I kind of trust Davis Mills. Keep the ship afloat. I said I was going to be brief on this, and I ended up saying a lot of stuff. Jake, over to you. You like Houston. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, low total. It's a teaser leg if I've ever seen one. We're seeing some pretty big defensive regression from the Jags. And, like, I thought that they would regress. They had a bunch of turnovers to start the year. The unit was horrible last year. I mean, they kept their staff. They just got some new players. Pretty new defensive staff, similar players. And they've fallen much harder than I expected. They're 31st in success rate since week 5. That is in between the Bengals and the Cowboys in success rate. So those are some, that's not the teams that you want to be with, for defense. And yeah, I mean, that was Geno's best game of the season. I mean, what the fuck? This is not the unit that was getting talked about so highly early in the year. I have even more doubts about the Jags offense. They're broken. Lawrence looks terrible. The market went against them heavily this past week. The Raiders should have won. Lawrence, 39% pass success rate against the Raiders defense. That's garbage. Now they have to go on the road again after a full overtime game and face the Texans defense. That game earlier in the year they played was like the most forgettable game ever. I mean, Stroud was awful in that game. He was so bad. I don't love Mills, but again, like the production that they were getting from Stroud was not great. So there's obviously going to be some throws that Mills just like can't make. Yeah. But this is a nice matchup for him. I'm not worried about the Jags pass rush.
Less variance with Davis Mills, I would say too. You know, he's going to throw one interception.
I hope so. I mean, really hope, but like if he doesn't turn the ball over, I think we'll hit this teaser or I'll hit this teaser easily. I mean, you probably will too. We have a 16 point, 12 point middle here, 13 point middle here.
15. Cause it, well, not yeah.
Yeah. Texans
that's why,
wide receivers
that's why you go for those half too. Points.
Yeah. The Texans wide receivers are healthy too, so it's
that's
he's
true.
Got everything to work with.
Yeah. And Davis Mills has been there for a while. Like he's a company guy. You know, he's been there what, half a decade?
He's the reason that they don't have Bryce Young. He's the reason they have Stroud. I believe he won a game he wasn't supposed to. And they cost them number one overall pick. I don't know if they would have ended up taking Bryce Young, but
Jake Circus with the memory that I don't have about what he's referring to. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. And I'm not a draft guy, though. You know, like I pay attention because to the players I have to, but I don't bet on it really. Kind of, I'm in my tennis stride then, Jake, which did not go well this season either. Okay.
You're a tennis guy?
I bet tennis. Yes.
I've been watching a lot of tennis recently.
Somewhat successfully. It's, you know, do I have to worry about how I say things in this sparsely viewed show? It's not the worst visual.
What?
Tennis. Tennis.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's some fun players to watch.
Well, are we talking women's tennis? Are you talking women's tennis?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't watch women's tennis.
Let me just tell you something. It's shorter. You don't have to, you know, like it's these matches can be over in 35 minutes. If it's Iga Swiatek just whooping someone's ass. And I would say they're a little more steady than the guys. You know, they're now it's by no means I was very up and down with it. It's only my second summer doing it. But a little there's a little like, you know, what's going to happen in certain situations. The men are fucking, unless it's Carlos Alcaraz, and even Alcaraz can blow the first game of a tournament out of nowhere. Like, makes no sense, you know.
I can't watch women's tennis. I can't. It's like
you can't step on the court with those women. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not saying they're like bad athletes. I'm just saying I watched this is not like negative at all. I just like they.
Yeah.
It's just like pretty. It's just unserious at times. I mean, like they
just can't watch it.
Yeah. They'll like force deuce and double fault twice. Like it's.
Oh, it's, yes, Jake. Just, I know what you're saying. It's the famous. I've said it before on Twitter, and I think I got in a lot of trouble when I said, you know, seeing 12 missed layups in the WNBA doesn't make me want to watch it more, you know, that doesn't happen in the NBA. Sorry. It does happen in three or four in a row sometimes. Like that's extremely rare though. So that's just true. That's okay. I'm just saying. So I know what you're saying.
I love how neither of us want to talk about Jets Brown. So we have transitioned into talking about women's tennis.
I have to avoid, you know, exactly the list I'm going down here. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, the Browns and the Jets. I'll be on a radio show on Sunday, iHeartRadio, Cleveland. And this will be a tough spot because Jets, obviously sellers at the trade deadline. Very interesting. I happen to really like what they did. You know, you have to create a new era here, and that's obviously what they're trying to do. It's not like, I believe Ryan Reynolds said this on Twitter today, very eloquently as always, that they're not foundational players that they got rid of, right? That said, what are the Jets going to look like in this game off of that trade deadline? I think people often like assume, oh, the Jets are showing that they're giving up on their season. And in reality, what you have now are roster spots opening up for players who can now prove themselves, who can have staying power in New York. Now you're playing for your career. This is a winnable game. The Browns kind of suck on the road. In fact, there's some insane stat, Jake. I think the last two seasons, I think Fezzik said it this week on Ross Tucker's podcast, they've allowed their defense on the road, as good as it's been, has allowed like 30 points per game the last two seasons. So I'm not thinking the Jets, Justin Fields coming off a good game might have an opening here off a bye. I'm leaning Jets in this one. I don't trust the Browns on the road in this game. I want to, but I have fallen victim to trusting the Browns far too many times on the road. I refuse. Even though they played well. They played well against the Ravens for three quarters. They played well against the Lions for three quarters. Don't trust them in this spot, though. For some reason, I think the Jets are going to be a little sneaky here. Maybe the Jets are a good teaser leg, too, by the way.
Yeah, Jets teaser leg as well. And now that it's plus two and a half. I mean, I was looking at the Jets at -1.5 on Monday. I didn't take it, thank goodness. I mean, I figured, like, I didn't do a whole lot during the early parts of the week because, like, these bad teams I normally like to bet on are going to trade a bunch of players. So I had no reason to bet on any of these shitty teams. And I was glad I didn't because this line moved four. Can you believe this? 4 points for one player who was in concussion protocol when they got their first win, didn't even play. And then Quinn Williams, who's like a great player, but if we're talking a field goal bump for an interior lineman, I mean, we've lost the plot here.
Okay, yeah, hold on. That shows how much I've been ignoring this game all week so far. Thank you for pointing that out, Jake. This is a four and a half point turn here on this game. This opened -2 for the Jets at home. It is now +2.5 in New York at home. So thank you for bringing that up.
I mean,
that's insane.
Like, I get that there were people who clicked Browns to try to beat everybody else. If you gave me, and I say this as like I'm
well, you think it's guy, Quinton Williams or Sauce Gardner or just the combination?
No, I'm just saying like this. Like, I think this line move is so insane. Like, if you gave me the opener line right now and asked me to take Cleveland, it would not be in my circa. I would not take it.
Right.
With 4 points of value, I wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
If volume better, sure, I take it. But if I'm picking five games I need to win, I would not trust the Browns to cover +2.
Exactly.
Like, I cannot believe that line move. I mean, like, I get the people who like to beat the line and get the close and get the plus EV, and they bet it. That would never do that.
Here's an interesting question, Jake. You talk about a 100% net gain choice. Could you, if you were in, say you're in Circa Survivor, could you take the Jets this week? Jake, I famously took the Browns what was that, three weeks ago against the Dolphins.
Yeah, it was a great pick. I probably would have went on balls here and agree with you. Balls like, I love the Browns. They were at home, though. They were at home. That was exactly. Like super windy. That was a mess.
No, but would you take the Jets in this case?
I mean, how many do you have good teams left, or you need to be aggressive? Because if you have good teams left.
Oh, I'm not asking for me personally. Right. I love the map that I have left. I happen to love my map, Jake. But for the people out there who have undoubtedly not chosen the Jets so far, would you consider it?
Man, I'm such a sicko. If I was in Survivor, I probably would have already taken the Jets and either been eliminated and wanted to just be in so much pain, or I would be a hero and be still standing. Who would I have taken? I probably would have taken the Jets against the Panthers, and I would have lost. That's how much of a sicko I am. I would have taken the Jets against the Panthers.
We're going to get to the Panthers game next, and that's an interesting spot for Survivor, too.
I don't know. I think there's some better spots this week. Look, if it's Tyrod, he's like the GOAT. Like, all he does is cover. He doesn't turn the ball over.
Wait, there's a chance it's not Justin Fields?
Aaron Glenn is the fucking worst. He, like, thinks it's like...
He's like trying to play with our heads again.
Yes, he did this. He did this with the Bengals. Tyrod ended up being out. I think it's gonna be Fields, but if it's Tyrod, did they announce anything?
Yeah, you're right. So Justin Fields says he doesn't know if he'll start in 4 hours. God damn, I can't believe I had to check the headlines about this game and I didn't.
Like Glenn doesn't say anything, and like he's actually pissing the reporters off because they're like, "What is the edge?" Like the question is, what is the point of not even telling your own players who's going to start? And he was because like Fields, he doesn't know if he's playing. That's what he said. And then Glenn is like, I have my own reasons. This guy, he's a clown. He's a complete clown. So if it's Tyrod, like he's the GOAT. Like he will not turn the ball over. You don't have to worry about like pick sixes. Like he's the fucking GOAT at that. Like great big dog coverer.
Yeah, I think he would be very solid in this game because the Browns would make six mistakes at the worst time.
He's the Jets up. I can't take them in Survivor, even if it's Tyrod. I can't. Miles Garrett is like he's there. I watch every game.
Garrett gets seven sacks and they still lose by 30 points. It's crazy,
I have every game on at all times on Sundays, and I don't want to watch this game. Like
someday I want to become I've now name dropped Ryan Reynolds twice in this show, so I won't do it again, Ryan. But I think he said he does this sometimes. Don't quote me on that. Someday I want to become such an OG, Jake, of NFL betting that I don't fucking watch the games, you know? Like those guys.
I can never do that. I need to watch the games.
I can ever do. I can't do that. How the hell can I do that? I love the NFL.
I don't understand. Like maybe that is very OG though. That's a good term.
That's a very elite way to approach it.
Archaic way. You can't do that now. I just don't think you can be a successful better doing that nowadays. You learn like final scores lie. Like, you can't. And the market's so efficient. Like how are you going to bet on
that's the thing? The market are so good that
when. The market is not based on the final scores of the game.
Yeah. So Jake says, forget the stats. It's all about our guts. Okay, let's move forward here. Saints at the Panthers. Panthers, 5.5-point favorites. They opened to 3.5. I got to say, I immediately just wanted to take the Saints in this spot just because obviously I think it's been 4 years or something. My man... What the hell's his name? Forget you know me and names. Ben Fox shared that earlier today. It's been 4 years since the Panthers covered as a favorite, and the line's moving up. Now I do believe. I don't know what you think about this, Jake, but I do believe that there are personalities in the betting space who can. I don't know if they're moving lines by just what they say. Because maybe it's followed up with a bet. But I know Fezzik on his show was saying, who's maybe influential in some circles, was just saying how New Orleans is a dead nut. Like they're not a team you could ever trust ever, you know. And I think Tyler Shug, who, you know, they were facing the Rams. That's an impossible spot in your first start as a quarterback. This isn't the same spot. You know, and the Saints team, even though they were sellers at the draft, they got rid of their left tackle, was pretty damn good. Raheed Shaheed, sent away to the Seahawks. Those are fairly big. You know, that's a deep threat. It's offensive line protection. Those are big things. But again, I think the Saints are kind of like the Jets. I think they come out a little feisty in this one. And I can't. I'm not going to. I like the Panthers a lot. I like what they're, they have a winning record. I mean, you have to give the Panthers credit because they were a historically bad team a season ago, and they have a winning record halfway through the season. Give them credit. At the same time, this is a new position for them off a major emotional win that no one thought was going to happen as 13-point underdogs on the road. So I can't support the Panthers. Give me the Saints. Ugly fucking game, Jake, but give me the Saints.
We have lost the plot. The Panthers have been favored in one game since Bryce Young took over. Like, again, I said it earlier, I am a market
one guy. Game.
I would like to think the market is pretty efficient, and I know they just beat the Packers, but they were just 13-point dogs last week. So both the Panthers, if you look at it this way, both the Panthers and the Saints were 2-touchdown dogs last week on the road. Panthers like 12.5, 13, 2 touchdowns. The Rams and the Packers, so that's like a 1-point difference. Like the Rams were 14.5 against the Saints, and then the Packers were 13 against the Panthers. So let's say like the Rams are -1 against Packers. I would have the Packers as like 2.5-point favorites against the Rams. So like, how are we at 5.5 here?
I think off a bye probably played into that maybe a tiny bit, but not yeah.
Anyway, right, like I have no idea how we are at 5.5 here. I mean, I bumped up the Panthers, but like not that. It's just not how the market works. Your power ratings are your power ratings. They're not supposed to fluctuate that much week to week, and it can't all be results based. You can't predict what's going to happen by just going off of last week's results. It's just not how the market works. Now, again, I am a market guy. I would like to think this line is pretty efficient, but stylistically and statistically, these two teams are pretty damn close to each other. 20th and 21st in overall EPA per play on defense. DVOA has their own power rating system. They're 23rd and 24th. They're like very close. I just have no idea how we landed on 5.5 here. I mean, the Panthers, even if they were good, even if they were like a good team, do not project well in a big favorite role. Why? They can't generate explosive plays, and they turn the ball over a ton. Both these teams are second and fourth in the league in total EPA lost committing turnovers. They're very similar teams. The one way the Saints can separate themselves here is Brandon Staley's defense loves to limit explosive plays. That's what they've been doing all year. It hasn't worked when they faced the Pats, the Rams, and the Bills, but against everybody else, even against the Seahawks, they allowed the lowest explosive plays against the Seahawks than any other defense that has faced Seahawks offense this year. So the Panthers, they don't even try to generate explosive plays. They're like top of the league in yards per, in plays per drive. They don't even try to generate explosive passes. The Saints pass rush as well, by the way, has been second in the league in pressure rate since Chase Young came back. The Panthers dead last in the NFL in pressure rate. Again, stylistically, this is a much closer matchup, and the Saints actually have like ways to attack Bryce Young, get in his grill. Much better matchup for Tyler Shuck than starting your NFL career with that pass rush and Chris Shula calling blitzes against you. So I am. Panthers have offensive line injuries too. I mean, I just don't know how we're at 5.5 here. I'm going to wait for a 6, but if it's not, I'll be on the Saints 5.5. I have no idea how we're at this number.
Two names that stood out there, Jake. Brandon Staley, a name that I shudder when I hear it usually, but this is the kind of role he should be in, right? And Chase Young, right? These guys kind of bringing themselves back from the dead a little bit here. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I trust them necessarily either. But the thing is, the difference in the Panthers, right, Jake, is, I mean, they can establish a run game. So the game isn't, I mean, if the game is solely on Bryce Young's shoulders, we've seen how that goes, and then their defense is on the field all the time, right? Like that, they're finally able to control the game somewhat. So I like that aspect of it. The Saints not very good in any one aspect of defense, so I think they can still have some success there. But like you said, offensive line injuries, Saints, I think Tyler Shug, I mean, do you think he has any room to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm not so sure, but I'll say this. I like his mentals. You know, the kid thinks about things the right way. And that goes a long way, right? Like that's part of the reason why Bryce Young is still in the league, because he's such a buttoned up kid. And he's gonna learn. He's, you know, trainable.
If you're handicapping this game because you think Tyler Shuck is going to be just an unstartable NFL quarterback, I think you're behind the eight ball here. Like, Kellen Moore liked him. This was his guy that he wanted to draft. I'm not saying he's going to turn into Drew Brees, but like,
they liked him.
This is a good matchup. I mean, give the kid a chance. And he just has to cover 5.5 against a shitty, like, the Panthers are not a good team. Right? They're not.
There is a disproportionate number of people choosing the Saints. I'm sorry, the Panthers in Survivor in one of my...
That is risky.
...contest. I believe it's 31% currently. I won't say the contest. It's not Circus Survivor. I doubt that'll be the case in Circus Survivor. But 31% on the Panthers any week? This is a tough week, though. All right, let's move forward to my Giants. 4.5-point dogs on the road at Chicago. Was looking at this game from a totals perspective initially. It's about around 47.5, but should be dropping because weather in Chicago, I think, will have an effect. It's going to be snow in the morning in Chicago, which is actually kind of awesome. There's a few houses.
Oh, shit, really? I didn't know that.
It's in the morning and precipitation, blah, blah. I'm not a weatherman, but you know, they're saying it'll taper off, but still like 25-mile-an-hour sustained winds. That sort of thing, Jake. For the people in my neighborhood, there's a few that have a Christmas trees up already. I think they could enjoy the scenery of this game. But I really wanted to take over in this game, Jake, because I don't think either defense can stop the other quarterback. I think we've seen that on both sides. These are dead nut over teams. But now I can't do that because of the weather. So I think you got to pause with that a little bit. I also think the Giants... I was looking at the Bears. Again, I'm talking from a Survivor perspective. I'm not sure if I said my pick in the last one, but I did have the Saints along with Jake. But as far as this one goes, I was looking at the Bears the entire time. I think this is a good spot for the Bears coming back home. But I kind of hate that they beat the Bengals. Like, I wish they lost to the Bengals last week. Now they're coming back home. I know Bears supporters say it doesn't matter that they just allowed 500 yards against the Bengals. To me, it matters a little bit. And you know, Jackson Dart, he's pretty good. You know, I'm about to say, as a Giants fan, I've evaluated this kid a lot. I'm not going to pick him apart. You see, like a Josh Allen like ceiling for just the way that he holds the ball and stuff. That's what the crazy Giants fans are going to say. I think he shows a lot of signs of mediocrity still. Just seeing the field in general, but this is a tough spot for any quarterback. So that means it's going to be on these defenses and who makes fewer mistakes. I can't project which quarterback is going to make fewer mistakes at this point because Caleb is still doing it and Jackson Dart is in his first season. So this is a really tough game for me, Jake. I'm going to pick the Giants here because I just think it's a coin flip, toss up, close game. Wouldn't be surprised at all if this was normal weather, if the Bears ran away with this one. I like some of the, I believe they made a good addition on defense too. They bought over Trae Young, right?
Joe Trae Young. I mean, he hasn't,
I don't think that's going to make a big difference. Yeah,
no, he hasn't played at all this year. I mean, he's
and they can't sack the quarterback.
Like, the guy is replacing, like, actually played. And
So that's not a great pickup. Well, actually,
got hurt.
Anyway, this game is tough for me, Jake. I would go Giants.
I'm with you. Nothing yet, just more so injury uncertainty. The Giants heavily banged up in their secondary, missed multiple key players in the Niners game.
Flott
was practicing today. Holland was out there. Doesn't look like Adebo's ready yet. But
Flott's not like an MVP candidate, by the way, folks. Like, he's not a great. He's been pretty good, but he's not a great player.
I think he's really good. I think he's their best.
He's had a great year. But it hasn't always looked good.
Well, he's better than Deontay Banks. I mean, Banks is unplayable out there. So there's just things here that are going to get me off the Giants, and I might not end up playing it. Like, this is a huge mismatch. Giants run defense against the Bears' rush offense that's been scorching hot recently. They were terrible to start the year. They couldn't run the ball. And then this Ben Johnson thing has kind of gotten rolling. Like, with the Giants, I keep expecting great performances from the defensive line. And they keep disappointing. They keep disappointing. Now, Mac Jones gets the ball out very quick. And he did it in that game on Sunday when not facing pressure. His time to throw was really low. Second lowest of the season for him. And when I look at offenses that are most susceptible to pressure, I look at how often they're getting the ball out quick. Well, Mac Jones and Caleb Williams are on the opposite side of the spectrum there. Caleb holds the ball longer than 2.5 seconds on 65% of dropbacks. That's number 4 in the NFL. So the Giants will have chances here to tee off and rush him. Unlike Bengals last week, where Caleb could do whatever he wanted, they can't get pressure. The Giants can cause havoc and do that.
They can do that every week.
Haven't seen that this year. So, like, when is it coming?
Except from Brian Burns, that's about it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was honestly very surprised that they didn't look, or maybe they did look to move him, but that they didn't end up trading Dexter Lawrence. Doesn't seem like he's going to be like a big factor in this, the future of the Giants. I think like Quinnen Williams, at 28 years old, got more than a first round pick. Thought the Giants could get that. That would have been maybe a smart move to do. And you know, that's not a position that they're super rich at. They're more so like deep on the edges with the players they've drafted with Carter and Thibodeau and Burns, but thought they could have ended up trading Dexter. But this Bears defense is so, so fraudulent. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I almost wish that they shut the Bengals down, but like they didn't. And we saw that. Like, we have eyes. We watch the games. I know Fezzik might not watch the games, but we watch the games. They're super beat up in the secondary. It's showing. Can the Giants get anything going and sustain it? 4.5 years a lot for a Bears team. It's just not very good. Just comes down to the number. I'll see if Flott and Holland end up playing. I think they're going to be good to go, but maybe a Debo practice tomorrow. Just as long as Banks isn't out there, we'll be good.
Bears defense, by the way, also not very good against the run. You can run on them. I know the Giants are missing Scadaboo, but Devin Singletary is pretty good last week. You know, they kind of have a still two-headed thing going on there. You know, both teams are going to need it. And I do think that the Bears can step up better than the Giants. There's almost too much talent. You know, every Giants fan in the world leading up to the season was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a top 5 defensive line in sacks.
Burns is so good, though.
Burns is good. But no one else is stepping up. I don't know what's going on with Dexter Lawrence. That's really weird for me. He's been one of the arguably their most consistent player the last few seasons.
Like the Giants pass rush is good. Like it's above average, but they haven't really been like game breaking. Like they maybe should be. Like it's a good unit, best unit probably on the team.
They haven't been every other week good like the Packers.
Right.
All right, let's go to the Bills and Dolphins. I'll be quick with this one. I can't bet on the Dolphins right now. I know they're at home. I guess are they off a bye? I guess so. No,
extra rest though. They're on Thursday night.
Thursday night, that's right, against the Ravens. I still don't know if I trust Buffalo's defense. You know, we saw a good performance from them against the Chiefs, but that's kind of what they do with the Chiefs in the regular season. Sean McDermott had 2 weeks. He's a defensive guy. He is good in those spots. But is Miami the team to expose them? Don't think so. I think that the Bills can run the ball all over Miami, just like they did in the first half against the Dolphins in the first game. It's still puzzling to me. Like when I watched that film, I don't know what the hell happened to the Bills in the second half of that first game against the Dolphins. That was very strange. The Bills have those moments though. And I think it's like a perennial elite just maybe tries to get cute or something, but the Dolphins played far harder in that second half. Could have fucking won that game. It looked like at a few points, but you want to take the home underdog in a revenge spot in the same division. That's what you want to take here, but there is no team who has shown more explicit wrinkles in the entire administration and coaching staff than the Miami Dolphins this season. Every week it's something cringy coming from this group. So I can't, you know, doesn't matter about the football and like the stats, you know, and what they suggest, even if it's a good matchup, It's just not an organization I could trust. I'm a culture guy, and you can see right through it in this one. So give me the Bills here, Jake, but I hate it because I'm a fucking NFL better. This is, you're supposed to take the Dolphins in this spot.
The line's too high.
By the way, do you have the Bears in the previous game or the
Giants? No, Giants. So like the line is too high. I show a little bit of value on Miami. I mean, so here's how I look at it. They were just +7.5 at home against Baltimore. And the surface numbers in that game say they probably should have covered or not covered, but they should not have lost by 22. They had drives in that game that finished on the Baltimore 17-yard line, 13-yard line, and 14-yard line that resulted in 0 points. They gave Baltimore a free touchdown by fumbling on their own 7. It was a mess. So now they're catching 9.5 at home against the Bills. That means Bills minus, technically, give or take, -2 on a neutral against Baltimore. And I had Baltimore favored in Buffalo in week 1. And now, I mean, I'd probably still have Baltimore favored. So there's some value on Miami here, I think, if you just look at it like that. But Baltimore's defense, Buffalo's defense, in a little bit of a groove right now. They get their star rookie corner, Maxwell Harrison, back, who was really good in the Chiefs game. He has to be good. If he's good, takes defense to a whole new level.
Yes.
This is a sandwich game for Buffalo, I'd say. Off the big win against KC, they have to go back home to Buffalo next week to face Tampa. I see value in Miami here. I did have them in week 3 when they covered in Buffalo. Not really feeling a need to try to go 2-0 there unless this hits 10, then there's some serious value. Because again, let's say Raiders Broncos, I have this at 8. So
you sounded like you were taking a shot on the Dolphins, but you go Buff.
No, 10. I'm on Miami here.
It's 9.5 at BetOnline. That's what I'm going.
Yeah, so 9.5. I will, for the sake of this program, take Miami. But again, waiting for the 10, Bills will be in everybody's teasers if it hits 8.5. I don't think it's going to get there. I mean, I'll tease the Bills at 2.5 if it gets to 8.5. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think that way as well. I'm not going to tease them down to 3.5. That's dumb. So, yeah, there is value here because I look at it like they were +7.5 last week at home against the Ravens, game they maybe probably should have covered. And now it's a big bump to a Buffalo team that's not really in a huge motivation spot right now. So, yeah, there's some value there.
I knew I could count on you. You're going to do it in that spot unless it's glaringly obvious, right, not to. And it's really not. It's not obvious to take the Bills right now. I do agree with that. I just – the Dolphins are the pits, man. The pits. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Cardinals and the Seahawks. This one has huge implications. It's going to have huge implications in Circa Survivor. Those who have the Seahawks are surely looking at this game. To me, it doesn't feel as safe as it should. Now, do we go with, two decades worth of sample size that the Seahawks have a great home field advantage and it really matters? Or do we consider that they've been a better road team the past two seasons? It is interesting. At the same time, Sam Darnold is playing so well. The Rashid Shaheed addition, from a football perspective, you have another deep threat. Could push back the safeties. Darnold is seeing the field really well. You know, if you watch his the progression, he's looking off defenders all the time. And Arizona, I don't trust defensively. I think that was a good defensive coach preparing for that game, so they come out good. And I think Jacoby Brissett, I've said this for weeks, when he first started stepping in for Kyler, I've said that Jacoby Brissett is a better quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, and that's showing itself right now. So that's what makes Arizona feisty for me, Jake. You want to trust? I mean, -6.5. The market is obviously showing us the respect that Seattle deserves at this point. That's juiced. It might get to 7. At 7, I absolutely have to look at Arizona in this spot. But it's tempting to still take Seattle because we've seen a balanced performance from Arizona one time, and it was against the Dallas Cowboys. Other than that, they have beaten bad teams, and they've been close, but they've lost consistently to good teams. So, maybe I consider that they always keep it close. It's a revenge game, Jake. I will pick the Cardinals in this spot, but I would not be surprised if they get the doors blown off of them, man. Like that, you know, maybe Jacoby though, right? Jacoby is maybe the great equalizer. What do you got here, Jake?
So you're leaning Cardinals here. Let me.
Yeah, well, I'm picking them.
Officially. Well, I'm gonna make you bet them because this is my favorite bet of the week.
Love that.
The 7 popped like right before I hopped on at one book at -115. I took it. I saw it and I was like, yes, I'm waiting for. I don't know. It might not get back there like this. So here's my thing with this, and I think like when I handicap this, I love taking teams that I think obviously are underrated. That's obvious.
Yes.
I had Arizona huge on Monday, finished off a great week. That was a dumb line. That was a bad line. I think Arizona is the most underrated team in the NFL. So normally they just had a big win. I normally would either just pass them or just maybe fade them, but normally just not look their way. However, I think if Arizona had lost to Dallas, I think this line still would have been 6.5. I think it would have been the same because like Arizona, like you said, has played super close to all these teams. They've been in these games and that is baked into the line. There's still plenty of buy signals here that is allowing me to bet on Arizona. This has been I'm not going to say the unluckiest team in the league, but they've been pretty damn close. They were close loss after close loss after close loss. Every bounce has gone against them in the fourth quarter. I mean, DeMarcado fumbles the touchdown against Tennessee. They blow that lead. Same game where they forced an interception and it turned into a touchdown for the Titans. They come back against Seattle and then they kick the ball out of bounds. Can't force overtime. They have leads against the Colts and the Packers in the fourth quarter. Can't close those out. They got stopped on fourth and goal going for the win against Indy. This Cardinals defense is super underrated. This is why they hired Gannon. It's like, this was his chance this year. He had the talent. They loaded up in the draft and free agency, and they were really hurt to start the year. Now everybody's back. They are the number 3 team in the NFL in forcing explosives. The reason for that is because they don't blitz. So they have this really unique, like 3 safety look on defense with their 3 safeties. It hasn't been as efficient because the corners have been hurt all year. Everybody's back now, except for Garrett Williams is on IR, but he's going to come back soon. But everybody else is back. Their performance in week 4 against Seattle was like the best performance anyone has had against Seattle all year. They shut down JSN, and they're without all 3 of their corners. Melton didn't play, Williams didn't play, and Will Johnson didn't play. They get 2 of them back for this game. This is peak market for Seattle. They run a ton of play action. They try to stretch the field. Arizona shuts down the run, which Seattle can't run it anyways. They shut down explosives, and they're the number 2 team in the league against play action. So this is a great matchup. You get an undervalued, underrated Cards team against peak market Seattle. Brissett's the GOAT. He doesn't turn the ball over. Number 1 in the NFL in turnover, or the best turnover worthy play percentage in the NFL. They're explosive. They can run. They've unlocked McBride and Marvin Harrison. That coaching staff is still coaching for their jobs. Petsing might, like, Murray is the fall guy here. Petsing's, I think, saved his job, the OC.
That's true.
Gannon did as well. At 7, man, this is a no fucking brainer.
I think Murray has been sucking the energy out of this team for a long time, actually. I think that's just the kind of locker room guy he is.
That's the longest tangent I'll go on in this show. I've been saving it. I love this bet to you. I think Arizona's gonna make a run of the playoffs.
I love that take with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, because I would have hated that take before. Let me just say this, just to give the audience, because that was a great monologue, Jake. I'm just gonna give a little bit of a contrarian thought here for a second, because just to offer both sides, I'm on the Cardinals in this game as well. The one thing is, you know, you look at any one of their macro stats. Now, 6.5 yards per pass allowed, that's a top 5 mark. Like, their pass defense has been pretty good for the most part. But most of their stats, offensively, defensively, they're bottom half, bottom third of the NFL, except a third down conversion rate, 4th for their offense. That's interesting. And then opponent third down conversion rate, 10th. Opponent fourth down conversion rate, 3rd, and their top 12 in red zone conversion rate for their opponents as well. So they make the plays when it matters, I'm often
in the fourth quarter.
Except for, yeah. But I'm often like, this is the part where I think good film study comes into it. Like, is this a sign of something we can trust to continue in the Arizona defense, or is it evidence of cracks and that's going to regress eventually? Jake says, you think they're a very formidable team. Lord knows the market loves the Seahawks, who can be extremely explosive, right? They started that first game off with 14 quick points in the first half, and then they kind of coasted after that. And they let that, you know, let the Cardinals almost nip them in the bud. So is it like, this is the game where if the Seahawks are a legitimate threat in the NFC, fucking take care of business right here. Like, go back home where you haven't played very well and prove that you're the better team against what could be an ascending team in the NFC West and the Cardinals now without Kyler Murray.
And
so very interesting take from you, Jake, because I do think that it's like, this game is going to tell me a lot about both teams.
Yeah, and just for like transparency, like, I have the Seahawks as my number four power rated team. I love them. I love what McDonald's doing. I went on your show a couple weeks ago as like, I was like very close to putting them at the top of the NFC. I mentioned like Packers won, and then like Seahawks, Rams, Lions, all pretty close. I think the Seahawks are better than both those teams right now. So, but again, this is peak market for them. That's kind of how That's it works. Right. You sell and you buy, and this is maybe last week was arguably peak market. Now we're really at peak market.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially following that showing from Arizona on Monday night. Okay, we'll move a little quicker through these next two. The Rams and the 49ers are always going to be the same story for me until proven otherwise, right? San Francisco is 4.5-point dogs at home. The total in this one is 49.5, obviously a high total, but excuse me, Mac Jones has been steering the ship very well. Looks like Brock Purdy's not coming back again. There's something going on there, obviously. He's not ready to go. It's a prolonged thing. But Mac Jones, you know, 49ers 6-3. He has a very quick release, right? Like, he gets rid of the ball. He's a smart guy back there. He's confident. The offense, he's, you know, now they have back George Kittle. I can't not take the 49ers here. You know, the Rams, I think the smart play is the Rams. You know, so let me back up. My original thought, my always constant perspective is to take the 49ers in this spot. But I think this is the situation where you don't take the 49ers. Because I do think the Rams, this game matters to them. They're at the height of their powers. Puka Nacua looks as good as ever, you know, coming back with a new baby boy, I think he has, or something, Jake, you know, that can revitalize a man. Not that he needed it. I think this is a really, really good Rams team. They're a top three team in the NFC easily for me. I think they could win the NFC. I'm pretty high on the Rams. And I think San Francisco finally runs into a little bit of that regression on their end. You know, we forget too, right? Because their defense is, I think Robert Saleh is a really good defensive coach with the 49ers. I don't know if he goes to like Tennessee and he's a great defensive coach, but he's been there before. Him and Kyle Shanahan, you know, they feel the same way about things. They get along well. The defense plays well. But after that performance where they upset the Rams in Thursday Night Football several weeks ago, like, what is he going to manufacture again and surprise the Rams? I don't see it. I think the Rams go off on the San Francisco defense, which is still injured. And I think Mac Jones regresses a little bit too, because Mac Jones is pretty good. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a quarterback that you hinge your franchise on. He was the backup for a reason. I think the Rams throttle the 49ers here, Jake. I think this is like a surprising result of the week. I think this is like a 34 to 14 type of situation.
I don't have anything here, but I will say, just I do lean Niners. Like, I talk all the time about like the art and the science of sports betting.
We need to disagree more, so this is good.
And every time these two teams play, it is a battle of the art and the science of sports betting. I remember in 2021 in November, the Rams, this was the year the Niners and Rams played in the NFC title game, but the Niners were 3-5. It was a Monday night game. They were hosting the Rams. It was a trap line at like 2.5, total reverse line movement.
I remember
that. The Rams boat raced them. Sorry. The Niners. Niners boat raced them.
Yeah.
The Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl, and the Rams won the Super Bowl, and Niners were like, they should have been in the Super Bowl. They dropped an interception to win the game. But like, I bring that up because same thing happened four weeks ago on the short week. Like, that was just when the entire Niners team was getting hurt. The line moved up 3, 4, 5 points to close like 8.5. And the Niners beat them. The dog in this matchup is 13-1 against the spread. 12-1 against the spread the last 5-6 years. Shanahan has a great success against the Rams. Like, this is like the matchup where you just throw away the science of sports betting. You throw it out.
That is my shtick with this typically.
You take the dog. Like, that's what you should do in this matchup. I also say, like, about the Rams, like, since that loss against the Niners, they beat Cooper Rush barely. They beat Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence in London.
That was an impressive win for me.
And then they beat the Saints.
Yeah. That was an impressive win for me against the Jags, just because going into that game, the Rams also thought that the Jags were probably better than they are, you know? So the way they prepared and completely outclassed them was impressive. Now, those overseas games, we don't know what to take from that shit half the time. But
yeah, and even that game, the Jags were like 0-for-4 on fourth down, turned it over, a bunch of wide receiver drops. Yeah. It was a messy game.
Immediately made a bunch of mistakes. Yeah. No, that was like 28-0. And like,
yeah, it was over.
21-0, something like that instantly. All right, so Jake, you're on San Francisco. I'm on the Rams in that one. Let's go Lions and Commanders. Dan Campbell has a crazy stat. Is the last 12 games or something after a loss, straight up loss, he's 12-0 against the spread, something like that. Definitely don't quote me on that, but he's pretty good after a loss, is what I'm saying. But you're a Marcus Mariota guy, Jake, and the Commanders are now what, 3-6. Season is on life support. That was, I gotta say, supposed to make betting fun again. There's nothing fun about that elbow dislocation, dude. I don't like seeing that stuff, and I don't like seeing it on players I really like. And Jaden Daniels is such a good kid that was horrible to see that. I'm also out of wine. That's pissing me off. But yeah, no, the Commanders are in a tough spot here still, though, I think, because I think the Lions are going to be very buttoned up after this one. The Commanders are not getting enough of a pass rush. And Jared Goff is literally two different guys. We saw the worst version of him last week. Like, when you watch Jared Goff try to avoid a pass rush, is there a more unathletic person in the NFL? I mean, but if he's statuesque and if he can throw the ball, he will rip you apart. And I think he's going to have time here. So I think that's the difference in this game. I think they can run it on Washington. I don't trust Dan Quinn, although he has proven formidable in a few spots this season. Just don't like this for an older Washington defense against a pissed off Detroit offense that should be far better in their pass protection in this game, at least from what I'm projecting. I'm leaning Lions here, and it's disgusting, Jake. Another home dog. What do you got here, man?
I bet Washington at 8.5. Yeah.
You're a Mariota guy.
But like, this line would have been like, the look ahead was like 4. I mean, what are we like?
For sure. Well, I think Jaden Daniels is worth that, but you don't.
No way. He's like the numbers this year are not even close. I mean, he's like, Mariota's better in success rate. He's better in PFF grade. Like, the offense looks the same. And look, like they fucked me against the Chiefs. I mean, the second half was terrible, and like Spagnuolo turned on the Jets with the blitzes, but like, they should have been winning by 2 scores at halftime. And like, they just gave up so many chances. It's like, not good that Mariota's just like keep pinballing from me, like starting first team reps and then like going to backups, and then now he's back with the first team. But this is more of a fade at the Lions. Like, they're still priced as this powerful team. I mean, they were laying 9 points against the Brian Flores defense in a divisional game last week. And now, like, same thing, laying 8.5, 8 on the road. It's starting to creep down a little bit. There's still like some 8.5s out there. But the last 4 weeks, I mean, they beat the Ravens, who had a ton of defensive injuries. They beat the Bucks, who had a ton of injuries. They beat the Bengals, and then they lost to the Vikings. So this offense, and again, this is including a game against the Bengals. They're 23rd in success rate the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just, by the way, I saw a stat today. The Bears are number one in that. So like Ben Johnson is like turning up with the Bears. The Lions might miss
a little
bit.
That's true. We kind of forgot about that narrative earlier, you know, midway through the season. No one's really saying that, but that maybe there's a difference. I mean, the offensive line injury is obviously not great.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. I mean, they might
Taylor
have
both
tackles or might be out.
Yeah,
and
Penesu will play. It looks like, but
they've already regressed at center with Ragnow retiring. That's been an issue this season with Glasgow moving positions. Mahogany, their left guard, is now on IR. Their right guard, the rookie, he's been pretty good. But
Jared Goff is not the same quarterback without elite offensive line play.
So.
I'm concerned about Washington's ability to
They can't. They can't generate pressure on the edges. They can a little bit. I mean, they have some guys a little bit who can generate some interior pressure if they need it. Like if they can, this game could get testy. But like this is just a big number for a team that's just gonna try to get into the playoffs, starting to have to try to figure out how to put up these big numbers again because they really haven't. They haven't been as good on fourth down. Goff not been good against the blitz. Just a lot of points here. So I took points. It.
How chalky am I here? Let's see. I'm trying to go over all my, I'm far chalkier than you, I think, but Jake, we had a streak where we hit six picks in a row. So we're finally deviating a little bit here. This is good.
I don't think we're that chalky. I mean, we have a long teaser in there.
No, we're you and I agreed is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have one agree in the past four games. That's more interesting. Okay, let's go over the last two games, your Sunday night and Monday night. The Pennsylvania teams on the road, the Chargers are, depending on the book, 3 or -2.5 at home, which I guess I'll get to that in a second. I'm not sure if they deserve much of that, but total is 44.5 at some books. I think the Steelers make a fantastic teaser leg if they're +2.5. I don't trust because we've seen it very plainly on the field when Joe Alt was not in the game. Justin Herbert is a little bit of a different quarterback too. You can just tell that he's rushed in his progressions. The field doesn't open up as easily for him to run the ball, and he's a good running quarterback, usually makes good decisions. And now the right tackle is questionable to play, I think, or that's trending in the wrong direction. They did pick up that guy from the Saints, but he's a veteran, but is he stepping into the role of Joe Alt and doing the same job? I don't think so. And the Chargers don't have a running game already. So this is just, you know, the Steelers are kind of like the Giants in the sense they're very talented on that front seven, but we haven't seen it consistently this season. We saw a breakout last week and how much havoc they can wreak. Damn, dude. How could I not play the teaser on the Steelers, but also Steelers +2.5 all day? I mean, the Steelers could win this game. Justin Herbert has been, or the Chargers offense has looked very questionable in games that it should not have in the recent past. They could have lost that game to the Dolphins. That's inexcusable, but why Joe Alt's not in that game? And it was just a different, you know, it was just a different schema. Jake, what do you got here on this one? Sunday night football.
Yeah, I can't lay points with the Chargers. Yeah. Never done it, never will. It's just a franchise. Just as a favor, they disappoint. That's more of a general statement, but like, I don't love this Chargers team like at all. I actually had them big against Indy I bet on the money line though. I didn't like points there, but that was awful. The offensive line stuff is concerning. They traded for Trevor Penning, who was drafted as a tackle in the first round for New Orleans, was terrible at tackle, needed to move him to guard, was terrible as a guard. And now the Chargers think he can play tackle for them. So
he's been decent this year, but not, you know, nothing to write home about.
Yeah. Well, the Saints obviously don't see him in their future plans, but look, he was awful at tackle. And that's, he's a left tackle for them. He's a play, be left tackle for the Chargers. It's a mess. And he was terrible at tackle for the Saints. So when we get into these spots where Herbert has to like carry the team, and it's nothing against him, I just don't think the team is good enough. Like when he has to carry them, I just can't lay points with them. But this is not a Mike Tomlin spot. Off of a big win on the road as a dog, like you want him off of a loss, like home dog, a rah-rah Tomlin spot. This is not really the spot that you want Tomlin in. And it's not, and the Steelers, like, they should have been down 14-0 against Indianapolis. And I have the Steelers. Now, I deserve to win that bet because I faded Pumpkin Daniel Jones and he gave me a bunch of turnovers. So I deserve to win that. I got a 3.5 and deserved it. But I
Daniel should've Jones been, looking like Daniel Jones.
But I should have been down 14-0 in that game. And the Colts muffed a punt. Steelers didn't even, they got the ball first and goal off a muff punt. Didn't even score. It turned it over on downs.
Right.
And then more turnovers and more turnovers and more turnovers. I Herbert is very protective of the football. So that's not going to happen here. But like Steelers offense is very much window dressing for a 40-year-old quarterback, quick game, yak. If you can get pressure on him, you can really get him off his spot. He looks like a 40-year-old quarterback under pressure. The Chargers can be able can do that a little bit. I'm with you with the teaser. I'm always in for a Tomlin teaser.
Low scoring game too, should be.
So that's where I'll lean. I will not have anything unless I can get the teaser up to 8.5.
Could the Steelers win a playoff game this season?
No.
Jake Sirkus says no. I think with the right opponent they could, obviously. Like I think like with the Colts, for example, now
that yeah, they're gonna have to go on the road though. That's
yeah, that'd be at Indy. So probably not. But I don't know. Steelers could they're not gonna have the same record. But I cringe a little bit that the Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin thing seems to work out in some cases. But I'm not surprised by it at all. All right, let's take it home here, Jake. It's 11:22 here on the East Coast. Remember when I tried to do these shows in like 25 minutes? Fuck that. We're just going to talk and we're going to give you very thorough analysis.
Well, yeah, you know how I am. I like to use my words.
You got a lot to say. I love it. So do I, although I got to say, I got a little bit of writing left to do tonight, Jake. I'm out of wine. Ah, boy. I got Victor Wembanyama looking like an alien in front of me on this TV here. Last game, Eagles are 1.5-point underdogs on the road now. 2 at some books still. I would say, 2 at bookmakers still, but +1 at Bet Online. That line is moving. I've liked the Eagles this entire time. I'm not a Packers guy. You can't deny the Packers. You can't deny the talent, some of the data points. Sure, they profile as a Super Bowl team. This was the Super Bowl winner from last season. You know I'm not an Eagles fan. At the same time, the Eagles are off a bye. Sirianni's 4-0 in his last 4 games off a bye. They face some pretty shitty teams off those bye weeks like the Giants. But this is a much tougher spot at Lambeau Field. But again, Howie Roseman just jerking other general managers around, dude, just totally taking advantage of his peers and working some more magic at the trade deadline. I don't love every addition that they made, but, you know, showing love for the defense, giving them extra support, players that they could resurrect, that tends to happen on Super Bowl winning teams. So the Eagles, I think, are coming into this with more positive energy. A.J. Brown is being quiet. They haven't been great in any aspect consistently this season, but their best 2 games were probably before the bye. Now it's after the bye. And this is a game where they want to prove that they're the cream of the crop in the NFC still. Give me the Eagles, but I'd much rather tease them up, which I actually already did. Gave that out to my clients earlier this week. It's up to 8.5. Up to 7.5 to me is still a great teaser. These Packers do have this ability, right? Proclivity, even you could say. They pull away from good teams in these big moments. They did it against the Lions and did it against the Steelers. Maybe they do it here against the Eagles. I don't see it. Eagles built a little differently here. And I think the Eagles actually win this one straight up. Jake, I think you like the Packers more than I do, just overall projections on the season. Are they going to win this one?
I bet them.
You bet them at -2.5?
I did. And this is the one I'm like, it's down to 2. Like, I don't really care. Like, this is the one I'm not going to lose sleep at night, losing a half point of
sure.
COV. It's, you know, it is what it is. I'm not surprised the Eagles are taking money. I didn't think this would close 3. So, like, not at all upset that I missed, you know, I'm missing out on minus two instead of minus 2.5. But, you know, this is a double revenge spot for the Packers. Lost to the Eagles twice last year, once in the playoffs. Yeah, off a loss, like the Tucker Kraft thing, I don't know how that's going to work because he's a big fucking piece. I mean, he's a big part of their offense. That's now a big vacant hole of blocking and yak. He does a lot for them. But this is more so a fade on the Eagles. And like, I don't think this team is rejuvenated in their back. I get they are coming off of a bye, but you know, their best performance of the season was against the Vikings. And again, like Hurts is a quarterback that beats the blitz. So he can beat Flores's blitz, had those couple of really nice deep passes that took the top off the Vikings defense. That's how you beat the Vikings defense this year. You get him with explosive plays. Lions couldn't do it. Goff was too busy taking sacks. Hurts, a little bit more of a pocket mover and acknowledges and can beat the blitz historically in his career towards Flores' blitz. Other than that, this is like this team's dead last in three and out rate. They have three and outs on offense more often than any other offense in the NFL. they can't run the ball.
I love to hear that personally.
They ran for 276 against the Giants, but Giants have like the worst run D in the league. That's been a huge problem for them. Saquon went off a few times. Giants also got really unlucky in that game.
How dare you?
What's that?
How dare you?
they were very unlucky in that game. I had no money in that game. The Giants got hosed with that tush push fumble. Oh. Bullshit. They got totally hosed.
And the thing about that is the consensus is that the Eagles still run away with that game.
Yeah, probably.
The thing is, we can all say that, but that's a game-changing play. You know, the score was 7-7. You know, the Eagles, the Giants have the ball and some momentum in that situation. So I'm not so sure about that. But Giants aren't as good as the Eagles, that's for damn sure. But.
This is a big ask for this Eagles team that really hasn't gotten up for anything this year, besides a road game against the Vikings when, like, in the middle of the Vikings injuries and offensive line injuries, and that's it. Like, they have not gotten up for any other game this year. I think the Packers will. It's at home, revenge. I mean, under three, great home field advantage, again, with the revenge spot. It. So, yeah, I'm a big Packers guy. Last week sucked. I mean, that was terrible to watch. But we move.
I do like the over in this one a little bit. I think, you know, it's sitting in that middle ground, 45, 45 and a half, limbo of all totals. Key numbers are lower, higher. This one goes over. I think at a certain point, Jordan Love and the offense do enough. Jalen Hurts in there. I think one team is going to be playing catch up. I think it might be the Eagles, actually. That's why I like them in a teaser. I think it's, you know, we've seen the Packers get off to quick leads against teams before, you know, bulk plays. So 45 and a half, not high enough on a game that's projected to be good weather. No problems in Lambeau. The only weather game this week, just as a reminder, everybody, Chicago looks like it's going to be, could be some precipitation, winds up to 25 miles an hour. You know, Jackson Dart with his rifle of an arm, Jake, I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think he's going to pierce right through that shallow Chicago defense. Nah, I don't know. I would lean Chicago in that case. I lean Giants. Anyway, don't listen to me. It's getting late. Jake, it's been fantastic, man. Week 10 going over every single game. We ain't keeping this shit short, that's for sure. Give me one last thought. Do you have any prop plays, parlays, anything fun that you want to give out to the audience before we leave?
It's not my style. I don't know. Trying to think. No, I got nothing.
You're going to do it anyway. You know,
I'm a loser. I'm sorry.
If you had to parlay something, I think an interesting, well,
Cardinals Falcons money line.
Yeah. Is there a third leg you can add to that? Do a little round robin.
Oh yeah. If I were to do a round robin.
Saints, yeah, Falcons,
I could do Cardinals. Saints. Yeah. Packers, Saints, Falcons, Cardinals,
but just plus money. Saints, Falcons, Cardinals. I like that.
Yeah, through leg. But I mean, if I was doing a round robin, I would do four legs and probably add a short favorite in there too.
Saints, Falcons. You're dirty Falcons, man. Yeah, that makes me sad that you're a Bengals fan, Jake. Come on, Joe. Help us out, Joe.
Recovering Bengals fan.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, so considering a different future, what do you mean? What does that mean, recovering?
Well, I'm never going to root for another team. Right. But I'm just less invested in my team. So
I was going to say, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. No, I will never root for another team. Not like that, but yeah.
That is what separates fandom, by the way. I was born with this. I didn't ask for this. I was born a Giants fan. My entire family is a Giants fan. You know, North Jersey, that's how it is. Anyway, that might not be the course for everybody, but the real ones know.
You've seen two Super Bowls, though. I'm never going
to
see a Super Bowl, ever.
We'll get to that in the Bengals podcast. Yeah, no, you're not a Zach Taylor guy either, which I can't say I blame you at this point. Jake, it's been a fun time, man. I'm going to play this intro again as the podcast ends because it's so crazy and I fucking love it. Jake, we'll see. We're going to see you on here soon. I think I might have Ryan Reynolds next week for week 11. That'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Over an hour and a half, give you plenty of information. Till next time. See you, Jake.